KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have light rain and 66 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Wellcove Home Health of Red Oak. Experience the spirit of Wellcove. Well, firefighters from Minden and Underwood responded to a structure fire south of Minden Tuesday afternoon. The call came in at around 4:30 p.m. Officials say upon approach, heavy smoke and flames were showing from a barn or outbuilding-type structure. Due to the lack of water supply at the scene, the Neola, Oakland, and McClellan fire departments were called in to provide that support. Personnel from all departments contained the blaze to the lone structure. No injuries were reported, and the cause of the blaze was not immediately clear. A report on a June survey underscores previous survey signs that slower economic growth likely is ahead for 9 Midwestern and Plains states. The survey report issued today says the overall Mid-America Business Conditions Index, or BCI, rose to 53 from 50.4 in May and 52.7 in April. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss oversees the survey, and he says improvements at the national level in housing, retail sales, and hiring pushed supply managers to raise their expectations about future economic conditions. The survey results from supply managers are compiled into a collection of indices ranging from 0 to 100. Any score above 50 suggests economic growth. A couple of public hearings will take place during the Atlantic City Council this evening at 5:30 is when that meeting begins. The first hearing is with regard to the plans, specifications, and form of contract for the Connector Trail and Pedestrian Bridge project. The hearing will allow public input on the project, for which the city has agreed to contribute $50,000 from the Local Option Sales Tax Progress Fund. City Administrator John Lund has indicated the fund has grown significantly over the past year and uses for it are limited. And since the trails system in Atlantic serves as a potential launch pad for a number of economic development opportunities, the Local Option Sales Tax Fund would be an appropriate use of the money, according to Lund. The second public hearing is with regard to the Southeast Urban Renewal Plan Amendment as it pertains to the Ash Street Housing Development Project being proposed by Boost Building Construction. The estimated value created by the development, according to Lund, is tax increment financing amounting to slightly more than $1.02 million. Boost has requested a TIF from the city to support the project, which the city's Personnel and Finance Committee has thoroughly reviewed and recommended for passage by the council. The site plan was approved by the council during their meeting on April 15th. Following both those hearings, the council will act on resolutions approving the matters, along with a review of the bids for the Connector Trail project and then the awarding of a contract for that project. They'll also act on a resolution authorizing an internal advance of funds for the urban renewal project, the TIF agreement for which amounts to $80,000. Lund says setting up an internal loan simplifies the process for all parties involved and will be made out of the general fund. It will be repaid through revenue from the TIF district over the agreed-upon terms outlined in the development agreement. Funding has been pulled for adult daycare for veterans in Omaha and Western Iowa due to a $2.5 billion shortfall in the Department of Veterans Affairs health care budget. The Omaha World Herald reports that the VA Nebraska Western Iowa health care system will no longer cover adult daycare and other forms of non-skilled nursing care after July 31st. VA spokesman Will Ackerman said that officials understand that it's an inconvenience to veterans and their families, but that they must be good stewards of taxpayer dollars. Ackerman says the VA will work with veterans' families to ease the transition. Elsewhere in area news, the Creston Police Department reports the arrest on Tuesday of 48-year-old Joel Allen Weeks of Creston. Weeks was apprehended just after 7:10 p.m. during a traffic stop. He was charged with driving while barred, an OWI third offense. Weeks was being held in the Union County Jail while awaiting an appearance before the magistrate. Police in Glenwood report the arrest on Monday of 23-year-old Theodore Brayman. A Glenwood man was charged with public intoxication and disorderly conduct. His bond was set at $600. For $5, residents in Van Meter are getting the chance to use a police taser on a city official. The Des Moines Register reports City Hall is selling raffle tickets as part of a public safety fundraiser, and the winner will get the opportunity to use a taser on Van Meter City Administrator Jake Anderson or Councilman Bob Lacey at the Van Meter Fire Association street dance on July the 18th. Officials say a police officer will assist using the taser, and the proceeds will go toward helping the police department purchase a second squad car, add speed radar, and potentially expand its six-member part-time and reserve forces. According to Anderson, the idea came up during a meeting with police about funding. Lacey volunteered for the event, so Anderson, who also volunteered, would have competition. A tip from the public on the potential whereabouts of a longtime Iowa fugitive has led to his arrest in Mexico. The U.S. Marshals Service says authorities in Mexico arrested Mitchell Meyer on Monday. Meyer was facing two counts of sexual abuse of a minor in 1999 when he was scheduled to appear for trial in Sioux City. He was released on bond but never appeared. A deputy marshal revisited the case in 2014 and offered information to local media. It was featured on the most wanted posting that brought in the tips. One indicated that Meyer was in Mexico. He's been sent to the U.S. and is being held in Texas before he can be returned to Iowa. A former Iowa egg farm manager will avoid jail time after cooperating with investigators in a criminal prosecution stemming from a 2010 salmonella outbreak. U.S. District Judge Mark Bennett sentenced Tony Wassman to 4 years of probation Tuesday after the government said he provided substantial assistance in the salmonella case. Bennett imposed no restriction or fine on Wassman, who's from Wilmar, Minnesota. Wassman worked for egg tycoon Jack DeCoster, whose Iowa operations caused the outbreak that prompted the recall of 550 million eggs and sickened thousands of people. Under a plea deal, Wassman pleaded guilty in 2012 to his role in bribing a U.S. Department of Agriculture inspector to allow sales of eggs that didn't meet federal standards. He cooperated in an investigation that led to the convictions of DeCoster and his son, Peter. Consumers are still seeing egg prices climb after the avian influenza outbreak that sidelined a good portion of Iowa's poultry producers. More than 31 million birds had to be euthanized at 77 operations in 18 Iowa counties. Shale Shagum, a livestock analyst at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, said wholesale egg prices recently hit a new high of $2.29 a dozen, almost doubling in 2 months.
Prices on May 1st, which were about $1.18 a dozen. If you go back and you compare to a year ago, we had prices of about $1.37 a dozen.
Shagum says egg prices will likely remain high for up to a year because it will take that long for poultry facilities to replace their chicken populations. He says food manufacturers rely on so-called breaker egg producers, and they were hit hard by the loss, and now those food makers are buying up eggs from the consumer market, boosting prices. Many Iowa turkey producers have also been impacted by bird flu outbreaks. Shagum says turkey production will be down about 7% for the second half of this year, which is a big about-face.
In the first quarter of 2015, production was actually 7% higher.
Also, supplies of frozen turkeys are up, so consumers may only be paying slightly more per pound as compared to last year.
Tom turkeys were up 11%, hen turkeys 13% from a year ago.
Predictions call for turkey prices to increase about 6 cents a pound from a year ago. And the severe weather that rolled through Iowa last week has threatened crop yields across the state. The USDA's latest crop report issued Monday places 83% of Iowa's corn crop in good to excellent condition. Soybean emergence rose 96%, which is on par with a five-year average, but 11 days behind last year's crop. 78% of Iowa's soybeans are rated in good to excellent condition. Iowa State University Extension agronomist Mark Johnson monitors a 9-county region that received up to 8 inches of rain in a 24-hour period last week.
And normally when you drive around after heavy rain, you see these ponds in the fields, and maybe they're a quarter an acre, maybe they're half an acre. When I was out in Carroll, I saw like 10-acre ponds, and Green was maybe a little bit better, and Dallas was a little bit better. Those counties really took a hit.
It's too late to replant those waterlogged cornfields, according to Johnson. And a record 85.1 million acres of soybeans are in the ground across the U.S., though a wet few months have kept farmers from planting in some states. The planted soybean acreage nationally is 2% more than in 2014, with the largest increases found in Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, and Tennessee. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's report was released Tuesday. May started with good planting conditions for soybeans, but a rainy pattern in June slowed the progress. More than a third of the intended crop remains unplanted in Missouri and 14% in neighboring Kansas. Farmers unable to get to fields planted by today may be forced to use crop insurance. The full extent of the crop loss isn't reflected in the report. Planted corn acres are the lowest across the nation since 2010 at 88.9 million acres. The news was brought to you by Well Cove Home Health of Red Oak at 1600 Summit in Red Oak. Give them a call at 712-623-2500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.